Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to In The Pocket. My name's Johnny.
And my name's Chris.
Two totally average bass players, and we're here to talk to you all about that bass. As well as answering your questions at home, maybe testing some tones, we're here to give you the lowdown on the low end. I don't know if I already said that or not, but we love bass.
And we do love bass.
That's what we're here to do. I'm hoping that you can hear us, because we are here for a special episode at the Guitar Show in Birmingham 2024. We're going to butcher the accent the entire time. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you too.
This is your first time at the show, right?
It certainly is.
And how is it going thus far?
It's very warm, is the short answer. But apart from that,
you sat right here.
Yeah, ooh. Apart from that, though, it is pretty good. There's been lots of very nice things. We have seen many a bass.
Yes.
There are some nice basses just into my peripheral vision here.
I can see some very beautiful things right from here. But
yeah, it's been good. I've had many cups of coffee because we both had to get up quite early to get here on time.
Yeah, we are fully energized and dying at the same time, so it's feeling great. We are going to do our best to speak to some people down on the ground and also try and get some tones. We brought the 8-track stock with us to record some bits and pieces as we go around, talk to some people, and yeah, show you what bass stuff is here and maybe some dealers that you might not have seen before or might not have heard of. So, reminder, if you're listening to the audio version of this, I implore you to go and subscribe to us on YouTube to watch the full video version, because that's going to be the best way to consume this content, I think, anyway. Because
it's going to be really, really confusing for people if they just listen to the audio version of this, you're gonna have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
So it's probably best that you actually watch this one for a change.
100%. And if we're too ugly to look at, you know, just fast forward this bit and get to the real handsome stuff, and that's the basis that we inevitably check out. So should we go and check out some gear?
Let's check out some gear.
Let's go. So we are starting things off here at Goliath Effects. We're here with wonderful Matthew. Thank you so much for being here.
No, thank you, Johnny.
Good show so far?
Yeah, it's been nice. It's been nice meeting loads of awesome people at this show.
Incredible. Now, I've had experience with Goliath, and I know that you guys are like showstoppers when it comes to like brutal tones and amazing aesthetics as well.
Thank you very much.
Like,
thank
I just picked this one up. Like, all hands done, right? On these.
I've started to get these Hornberg screen printed a little bit, so yeah. Just to give everyone like a bit more of information on the pedals.
Yes.
It's feedback that I've had before, so I thought, you know, I'm always learning.
Yeah.
But yeah, then I hand splatter them afterwards,
so cool.
Everyone is still unique and obviously different.
I love it, and
yeah.
With you guys, you can have a unique approach to bass and what you want to achieve. What's your kind of like main goal when it comes to bass pedals?
So I want to provide an alternative to what is out in the like the bass distortion realm that's out there at the moment.
Yeah.
But also to try and do things slightly different in my own way, as you like we were saying with that Hornberg, which has just come out this past week.
Yeah.
Did a video.
I did do a video.
A little bit
it was very fun.
Instagram stuff, and everyone's loved it.
Yeah.
It's been great.
Yeah.
Just to do things slightly differently, by blending the overdrives and fuzzes, but also making it clear with clarity for us low enders, so that we get.
So that like kind of modern metal thing, but blending loads of different types of pedals into one, like Big Muff inspired or Rat inspired thing, and doing a kind of bass twist on it sometimes like that. And that's what we love. So
thank you
for doing this. Talk us through the range then that we've got at the minute of our current kind of key lineup.
So at the minute, we've got obviously the Hornberg, and then we've got the Black Ice. So like everything's really stemmed from the black ice, you know what I mean? We've had, when the black ice was born, it's then moulded. So then we had the three knob version, which has got modded again, so it's more stripped back, there's no blend. It's just that the tone controls a base cut, so it adds like a more modern boost. But then it's also got a toggle on it.
Nice.
It's from soft or hard, so another flavour that we can add on to things.
Yeah.
Then we've got the turbo rodent. I wonder if you can guess what that might be based off of.
Sans amp.
Possibly, yes.
Ah.
but again, tuned it so that it's with some the original rats, they do kind of flub out a bit on bass.
Yeah.
We all know that.
Yeah, I've got one at home and it's great for like, I like having an on-off type distortion or something to give me a bit of boost, and you kick that one on, it's like gnarly, but you drop out a little bit.
A bit flubby, so obviously it's tuned to let us, as bassists, even if with like the baritone drop B bass, it doesn't flub out.
Yeah.
Still getting that gnarly rat distortion. I even wired the tone pot the correct way so that it's flubby out on this side or fatter on this, fully clockwise.
So that's the flub control.
The tight control. and then I've added a toggle on that which flips out the filter cap.
Okay.
And adds more mids and more presence to it.
Nice.
Yeah.
So quite flexible in what we can do then.
And then we've got the Shadow Song, which is new. That's in part of the White Out range. Basically, it started life as a dual power amp. Might have a really big knob on the front.
That's what we like.
A bit golden. And then I've modded it, tweaked it. And it's got two internal trim pots for the gain stages on each op amp. So you can have it all balls out and it does dial it back a bit.
Okay.
That's just a signal chain destroyer.
if you want it to sound just absolutely terrible, just the one, one for you.
Dan Higgins here earlier.
Yeah.
He's walked away with one. So oh, quite nice.
Of course. Lovely.
Dan loves his big, gnarly
big
noises.
Gnarly tones, for sure.
Yeah,
well, let's have a listen. I like this one in particular. This the Desolation, right?
Desolation, yeah.
This one is a beast.
Yeah, so that's that was born when the three knob black ice, which then is in series or parallel with a turbo rat.
Yeah.
And then it's got a mix pot on it.
Yeah. Brutal. I like the split controls here, the mix in the middle, just nice and easy to use. Beautiful. Right, let's have a listen to some of these insane tones that we're gonna get now.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Have you made loud noises?
Loud noises.
Hello there. You join me live from the lovely Origin Effects booth with Jacob, who is the marketing, content creation, digital man here. How's the show been for you so far?
The show has been busy, but quite a lot of fun, to be fair.
Quite a lot of fun. That's what we like to hear.
Nice to have a few new things, see a lot of familiar faces, see a lot of new faces. So it's been enjoyable.
Excellent. And since we're here, why don't you walk us through the... We don't need to talk about the guitar stuff for now. We're just going to talk about bass, the really good stuff. So what have you brought with us today? Talk us through it.
So this year we've got a selection of, I guess, all our bass stuff. I guess starting from the front, we've got the Cali, which I'd hope most people know us for, sort of 1176 and a pedal, high bus filter on the sidechain for the bass players. We've got the DCX bass, which we didn't bring last year because it wasn't released yet. So that's sort of a 610 inspired drive boost pedal. You can use it into a DI for a posh sort of studio DI sound, or use it as a drive into your amp or preamp, whatever. And then we have the two bass rig pedals. So we've got 64 black panel that's sort of based on the Showman. Black panel Fender stuff with the 2x15 on the output, or the SVT, the Super Vintage, which is the SVT thing with the 8x10. It's all here. It's cool to have it out.
Excellent. And from a point of curiosity, do you have a preference between the black panel and the Super Vintage?
We won't tell
anyone if you're trying to remain unbiased.
Well, yeah, I'd say absolutely no one, yeah.
Okay.
It just depends on what I'm doing. Like the SVT one, obviously, it's an SVT. It can get used for basically anything. So like on a recording session, it's super versatile. 99% of the time, it'll get you what you want. And, you know, it's beautiful for that. But the black panel's a bit of a dark horse sometimes. Sometimes you use the SVT, and whilst it works, it's not necessarily what you're looking for. And then you slap that on, and suddenly you just get this very different character, especially with the drive settings or like the edge of saturation stuff.
Yeah.
Which is where like I think these pedals sort of shine, is the edge of saturation. And like the SVT is really predictable in its mid-punch and its sort of like drive character. Whereas the black panel sort of is a little bit less predictable, just a very different character.
Yeah. It's a really great combination of the two, because the SVT, of course, is, you know, every bass player knows what an SVT is supposed to sound like. So it's kind of like old reliable, but it's really great that you've included something like the black panel as a chalk to the cheese of the SVT.
Well, that was sort of like what we did when we started it. It was like the SVT is obviously the obvious choice, the thing that everyone's going to guess you're going to do.
Yeah.
But then we were like looking for the alternative thing, like where... If you don't like the SVT, or maybe you just have something that does the SVT that you're fine with, what's the sort of surprise act that's different enough that conceivably you own both, or maybe just offers something that you've never thought of trying before? And the Showman sort of sound with the black panel side of it and the tweed side of it sort of offers that. It's a very different vibe.
Yeah, two very iconic amps, but both are complementary and then also different to one another. And just to wrap things up before we jump back to the studio, what are Origin's goals for the next kind of 12 months? Can you give us a little secret sauce and anything that might be coming? Or,
well, I think it like should come to no surprise to everyone that since the bass rig stuff and the DCX bass, like seeing bass players' reactions to what we've been doing has been just brilliant. Like, we hoped that people would receive it well, but we were surprised by just like how well it was received. So like moving forward, we're definitely keeping bass players in mind. And I guess the key thing for us is sort of making sure that when we do something and release something, that we're doing it to a degree that sort of we think we're doing the best version of it that we can. So, you know, there's definitely multiple bass things in the pipeline, hopefully some of which will come out soonish. Hopefully some things will come out later this year or beginning of next. But we have some big plans. But we basically just want to make sure that we get it as right as we can when we do it, sort of like... No half measures, just get it right.
And that absolutely shows with everything from the Cali 76 to the Super Vintage, the Black Panel. They are probably, I would say, like definitely some of the best, if not the best, iterations
of... Oh, thank you very much.
Well, I mean, I'm a very big fan of the Super Vintage. I think when you plug it in, you immediately know it's an SVT. And like I said, there's no half measures. It does what it does very, very well. So hopefully, whatever you choose to do next will be just as good as what you've already done.
That is the aim.
We'll leave it there for now. Jacob, thank you very much for coming on.
Bye.
And back to you in the studio. Nice.
So now we're here at the Vintage Bass Room, where we have, I'm resisting the temptation to just run in here and play all of these incredible looking vintage basses. And we're here with Paul, man himself. Owner, yeah, how are you, sir?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I am very good. Thank you. So give us a summary of what it is that you guys do and how your time this weekend has been.
Yeah, this weekend's been great. It's been a thing to try and get our name out there, get more people to get a vintage bass in their hand, because everybody needs a vintage P bass or a vintage jazz
bass. It's a scary thing, though. Like, when I think of like vintage basses, I'm like, oh, God, like, I wouldn't want to take it out the case.
Yeah.
What is it about a vintage bass that, like, does it for you?
I just think everything's got a story to tell, man. So we've got a 1963 there, all original. We had a kid in who's got his first bass in December, put the 63 in his hand. Like, you might never get a chance to do this again.
Yeah.
And you've got to inspire the new people who are coming through. So the more vintage basses we can get in people's hands, the better.
Yeah.
And they've got a soul, man.
Absolutely. I've played custom basses that have like been built and chopped down a tree that was next door. And
yeah,
it's stupid, but it's like, it does this thing to your brain where you're like, yeah, it's got a soul. It's so true.
It's absolutely right. I mean, some guys be like, what's so special about an old vintage Fender? What did they do? Like, no idea. Because the modern tooler now is much better.
Yeah.
There's just something about the way that it's put together, the body and the neck, just it sings.
It's more what it does to you
for sure
than what it does to the ear,
for
like
sure,
how you feel playing it, I think.
Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, we're going to have a listen to some in just a minute, which we're very excited to do. Now, a lot of people, vintage basses, probably out a lot of people's price ranges, and then when they get them, probably keep them in the case or like keep them, not gig them, etc. You told me earlier, you gig like vintage basses, don't you?
I my main gigs and gigging bass is a 1972 Candy Apple Red with a 1963 pickup in it. Yeah. And it's killer. And it's battered to hell. It's literally falling to pieces. The paint's coming off. But it sounds amazing. So that gets gigged every week.
Nice.
Every week. And it's like, they weren't made to be put into a case.
No, that's true.
They're made to be gigged, you know? So.
Yeah.
Gig them hard, man. That's what they're for.
Absolutely. If you watch Toy Story 2, we all know that, like, Al's toy barn, Al is the baddie, and he keeps it.
Yeah.
He keeps the toys in the case, and that's not what they're meant to be played with. These toys,
exactly, man.
Meant to be played with.
Exactly right, dude.
All right. Speaking of playing, let's have a listen to some now.
Get on,
let's
man.
Do it. Nice. Thank you so much, dude.
Cool,
amazing,
man.
Amazing.
How was the guitar show going so far?
It was great. I really enjoyed it. There were lots of guitars, lots of amazing pedals. Great Ethan had the best pedal, and Fidelity had a Fretless baritone, which was the best guitar. I thought there was too much nudity this year, though. That's gratuitous.
Yeah, too much. Too much ginger nudity.
I found the religious ideology to be quite distracting.
Well, we are here at the lovely 440 Distribution with Tom. Tom, thank you so
That's
much
us.
For... taking a minute to chat to us, fellow Northerner, for
absolutely.
A change. Why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and then what you've brought
yeah,
today?
Cool. So we're 440, we're based up in Leeds, and we are distributors for a few brands, mainly Cort, which is a big range, and they do really, really well with the bass side of things. They're really hot on the kind of the specs that come in, new models coming out. It's good stuff. And we also do, on the bass side of things, Sandberg. So all custom order, made, hand-built in Germany, which is a really cool brand to work with. They're lovely, lovely guys. The stock's amazing. It always comes perfectly set up. And you've got their online configurator where you can build whatever you want. And it will, about a year later, you'll get your very own custom one-off bass, which is wicked. And you can spend, I have spent days on that configurator just building, yeah, all sorts. It's good fun. It's worth checking out.
Excellent. I'll have to have a look at that. Yeah. Any particular standouts that you brought with you this weekend that you want to highlight for people?
So court-wise, they have just released the Space Headless Bass. They used to work with Steinberger back in the 80s building the Space Bass, and they kind of brought it back again. Really, really good specs with the Bartolini pickups. You've got the Mark Bass preamp in this. You don't need double ball end strings. It clamps it at the top. It's a nice little feature.
That's good to know.
Yeah. The first thing that all the retailers we spoke to asked is, that's brilliant. That's a really good price point. Really cool they're bringing it back. How am I going to display it in the shop? The headstock, or lack of headstock, is shaped so you can put it on a wall hanger.
Oh, that's... Which just
has solved all my problems.
They thought of that. Very good. Yeah, very good indeed.
Absolutely. So that comes in the Stardust Black and the Stardust Green. Nice bags as well. Really, really happy with how it's been going. There's definitely a gap in the market for that kind of thing. It's great.
And at that price point
and
as well.
Price point, yeah, absolutely, which is really cool. They've also just announced the C4 and C5 Deluxe in these really cool colours. It's called Candy Blue. And I just think, when you look at photos of it, it doesn't do it justice. In the flesh, the colour just really pops. It's brilliant.
Yeah, I'm hoping it comes across on the camera, because these are like a really... Really, I mean, these Sandbergs over here are obviously a lovely shade of blue, but it's like you've ran this through a filter. It really pops out, which is obviously great. And then we got the good old Bass of the World that we've all seen on YouTube probably a million times.
So you've got the three different versions of the Bass of the World. You've got the Hardcore Age Sunburst. You've got the orange one, which is really cool with the orange Klopmans.
Yeah.
And you've got the matte black as well. Beautiful basses, passive. With Klopmans, which is not unusual for Sandberg, but it's just a bit different. Just sound really good, the pickups, though.
Excellent.
So we've got the Bass of the World. We've got a few different bits and bobs in. The new Electra in the Sonic Blue. It's a brand new colour for this year. That's cool. We've got the Ida Nilsson, which is one of the sort of top sellers. Very, very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And the Jeff Berlin, of course, over here.
Jeff Berlin Court, yeah.
Yeah, you can't go wrong, can you?
Absolutely.
And probably the final one is the Victor Brandt over here. We're going full Tommy Lee at the end with the kind of like bit Thunderbird-y kind of.
Erring that way, possibly.
Yeah, not enough. I couldn't possibly comment at this stage. But before we try out some basses and get a few tones, how's the show been for you?
Just
to kind
great.
Of wrap things up.
Yeah, it's
excellent.
Been busier than last year.
Good.
I think.
Okay.
It's a great venue, this. I don't know if you went to the last place.
No, I didn't actually. Johnny was at the last one. That's Johnny Waving now. This is my first time here.
Oh, really?
And it's been very warm, but it's been very good.
Very
I've enjoyed
warm.
Myself.
Very cold outside, very warm in here.
I'm looking forward to being outside
later.
Exactly. Absolutely. Windows down for the drive home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. Well, Tom, thank you very much for showing us around.
Of course.
We are going to do some tones. It's back to you in the studio.
we are now here with Yamaha and, of course, Ampeg with lovely Will. Thank you for joining us.
No problem, thank you.
How has the show been so far?
It's been good. I'm very tired.
Voice going.
But it's a good 3 hours of pack up, I think. So
yeah. Oh, wow.
We're going to be here for quite some time yet. So, well, it's been very good. It's been very fun.
Well, we'll try not to take up too much of your time. You busy man, busy man. Of course, Ampeg, amazing showing. Late last year, released the new Venture range. And, you know, talk us through the new amps and cabs we've got here. What is the goal with this range?
So we've released three heads. We've got the V3 here, which is a 300-watt head. There's a V7, which unfortunately I've got here today, but we've got the V12 as well. So 300 watts, 700 watts, and 1200 watts. Powerful and very, very light. So that's the idea. It's like being Venture. It's about being lightweight, so you can take it, you can tour it around, you can, you know, gig it fine, no problem. Lightweight cabs as well.
Beautiful.
Neo speakers in there. But they're incredibly lightweight. I was just saying to you that I could have either a 410 and a 115 in one hand each. And
I want to see this. Yes, I need to see
it. It was fine. It was just awkward. That's all. Yes. Not heavy at all. So, you know, it's, and I think, you know, everyone knows Ampeg for that, right? For SVT, it's heavy.
Yeah.
It sounds incredible, but it's heavy.
It's like an earned thing. You must go through the pain to get the tone that you want.
Exactly. And, you know, they're still incredibly popular.
Yeah.
Everyone wants that sound, but they don't want to carry it.
Yeah,
so that's
for sure.
Why this is about.
Amazing. So it's kind of, and because you've got the combination of the B15 as well, right?
Yes,
not just
so you essentially kind of got three circuits. You've got it's a Class D power amp, but you've got three circuits. So you've got your kind of standard circuit, which I suppose is a bit more modern. Take it out of there, and then you can turn on the SGT circuit, which is super grit technology. You can choose between B15 and SVT. And then you control the amount of grit in this part here. So, but you can, when at lower amounts, it will kind of give you quite a clean SVT sound. So, and you can just dial in a bit more gain if you want. So, sounds great.
Turn it up. I love an SVT, like slightly, it's like classic, like slightly driven.
Slightly there,
sound.
Exactly. And that will never get really, really gnarly.
Yeah.
But it's not trying to do that, you know.
No.
It's trying to be just real.
Yeah,
you know?
Shove a pedal through it and like a boost, break it up even more.
Exactly.
Be beautiful. Amazing. Well, thanks so much for giving us the rundown. I think it's about time we have a listen to these bad boys. Let's do it. Amazing. So now we are back in the studio that you kept mentioning in the video. We're back. Now we're
finally
back.
I've been saying it the entire episode, and here we are, finally.
Here we are in our matching t-shirts.
Woo-hoo. Yay!
We did not plan this.
No, we actually didn't.
Thank you so much for watching our time at the Guitar Show. We hope you all enjoyed it. We thought we would come together now, a couple of days later, after we've had a chance to think about what we've seen and what we've done, And kind of debrief with you, maybe tell you some bits about some other bits of gear that we didn't get to try at the show because it was very busy there and kind of underestimated how much would be there and how long it would take to get around. So, starting things off though, Chris, how did you find the show overall and how are you feeling now?
I had a good time. It was a very long day, but it was a very good day. I'm not sure what time I left the house. About 7 a.m., half.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
7 or something like that, and then getting back through the door at like 8 o'clock in the evening or something. It felt like a long day, but it was very good. It was a very warm day as well. That room had some heat in it, and it kept that heat throughout the entire day. But overall, I think it was a really good time. It was very funny because we got there and we thought, well, we'll do a lap. We'll have a look around and then we'll have a plan. We'll have something to eat and then we'll start filming. And we did the lap. Unfortunately, that initial recce of the room took, what, 4 hours? 5 hours, maybe?
Yeah, because it was like, oh yeah, we'll go around, we'll start talking to people, say, oh, we're going to record, and if we come around later, and then we'd start like trying things, and then yeah, it just took ages to get around, and I still don't think we saw everything, really.
No, there must have been stuff we missed. Yeah, there must have been stuff. There's whole corners of things that, I mean, the Ampeg part that everyone's just seen was literally as the show was ending. Like, yeah. I'm me playing that, frankly, amazing BB. Like, oh my God. I'm in love with that. That bass was so, so nice. We were playing that, and around us, all of the souls were being dismantled and things were packing. People were packing stuff up, ready to leave. Like, it was right at like 5 to 5 we were recording.
We're quite,
that, so
quite lucky with that, really, because we were demoing the amp. That was during one of the loud times, because when you go to these shows, because of volume and to stop volume creeping up and up and up, because so, like, we all know, we've been to a gig where a guitarist plays, then the next guitarist plays, and then they just go like this, up and up and up. So they have intervals of where like a foghorn goes off and then it's quiet time. So headphones only, you know, it's, and when those moments happen, you're like, oh, zen.
Yeah, we got very lucky with that. I mean, when we interviewed these chaps, the vintage bass room, that was during that quiet period, so we could just speak at like a normal volume. But then if you go back to the oh my goodness, the origin part when we were speaking to them, so you can't see, but basically while I'm talking to them, immediately like 5 meters to my left and 5 meters to my right were two guitar amp companies that were just going for it. Like, really loud.
And Chug
while
City.
While we record now, I was going, oh, there's no way this ain't getting used. There's no way we can hear it. But credit to these lovely Rode Pod mics. Like, I'm really impressed with them. They did a really good job at the show.
They smashed it, boys. Well done. Good job. It's funny then, like, going between the interviews, like, hello, we're here now, like, shouted down the mic. But I couldn't hear you at all. I was on the camera. I couldn't hear a word you were saying.
No. And so, I couldn't hear you at all when we were doing, when we were speaking to Goliath. I just couldn't hear what you were saying at all. No. I was just sort of going, well, when they stop talking, I'll turn the camera off. Until then, I'll just hold it just there. But going. I couldn't hear a thing. So loud. It was so loud.
So Let's have a look now and see who we didn't speak to, who we went around and saw some things from. So I want to start off. I guess the first base we tried was actually went to LT Customs, and they had a rather tasty short scale, which when I first saw it, I thought it was shorter than a short scale, a short scale, because the headstock was so small on this thing. It just looked way smaller, and so that was the first thing we picked up and played through this ridiculously distorted amp, guitar amp. So it was just like a riff machine, short scale with distortion. You're just instantly like, here we go, big riffs all day long. But yeah, that bass was pretty cool. I was instantly like, oh, good start, I like this. Single pickup, like a 51 style P bass, and then no tone control, which is divisive. It's very much just a no nonsense, like, this is it, kind of thing. So that was pretty cool. What did you think about that one?
I really liked it. I would have loved to have played it through a bass amp, as opposed to the kind of like, I mean, like that guitar amp was kind of like a bit of a half stack thing that did have some independent gain controls, so you could clean it up and make it start sounding a lot more like a bass amp, but it was still a guitar amp really at the end of the day. So turning it up and turning the drive up was really fun, and you know, you still got loads of low end, and it sounded like really like it was like it sounded like the guitar part of the Royal Blood songs. So it sounded great. It was like a big riff machine, but to test it as like a bass player, I wanted to hear it through an actual bass amp. But actually playing it was a great bit of fun. I think my next conquest will be some sort of short scale. Well, when you think about it though, it's like the only thing I don't have now. I mean, I don't have a jazz bass anymore, but I have a PJ bass that can do the jazz thing. But I don't own a short scale in any way, shape, or form, do I? I've got like 5-string active bass. I've got a 4-string active music man. I've got a P bass with flats, and then I've got a passive PJ bass, which does a bit of everything. So really, if you had to think about it, the only gap, apart from like something like a Hofner kind of thing, which I've never really been asked to do, so I can live without that, is like a short scale. So maybe a purchase will happen this year.
Maybe it's a short scale semi hollow. I want to talk about semi-hollows for a second, because I tried a rather wonderful Italia Rimini, I think it's called. Rimini.
Join the roll dar there. Very nice.
Yes.
I can't do that.
Italia Rimini semi-hollow in blue pearl. This was at the PMT stand, so they weren't there. It was just PMT. And I was like, oh, what's this? Because I saw it when we were speaking to Origin. I could see it in the background. I was like,
I just remembered this.
What is that bass? And I got there and I was like, that's going to be like thousands of pounds. And I got there and I was like, £400. Get me on this thing now. Get me on it. And so I awkwardly was like, can I play this, please? And then was sat like behind their stand, like with the staff, just like jamming away on this Kemper profile. And felt lovely, actually. It's really nice. Insane finish on it. And yeah, I was like, if this is here at the end of the show, I'm tempted to come back and pick this up. It wasn't, it had several people interested in it. So
what a shame.
Bad
mate.
Times.
What a shame. But I did mean to ask you, how did you find the Kemper? You played a Kemper.
I mean, I have played a Kemper before. Okay, okay. I borrowed one from a producer friend of mine just to like have a go on and to like see what it was like. And I didn't really get on with the interface, found it a bit clunky.
It's not an easy thing to learn. Once you know how to use it, like when I had mine, I could rip through everything super fast. Like I could make presets and change banks and really like build a set list really fast. And tweak things on the fly really quickly. But if you don't know, it's so intimidating, I think.
If you don't know, you don't know.
No, it's like if you know, you know. That is how not knowing about things work. If you don't know, you don't know.
You don't know.
Did it sound okay? Or
yeah, sounded fine. It wasn't like, it was just like, oh, his bass preset. Like, it wasn't fine-tuned or anything like that. So it was just, and I was only listening through headphones, so it sounded good in the context of what it was, and it's super fun to play, really nice. They do it in all black as well, that, which really looks quite Rickenbackery. So if one of those pops up, I'd be very tempted to pick it up.
I feel like, as a quick tangent, you said the word Rickenbacker. Oh my.
Yes.
Oh my. That Rick was, I liked that. I liked
somebody
that
somebody have some fun.
Yeah, I really, really liked that.
I'm very jealous of you. Because
it was good. It was good. The BB was my favorite, though, genuinely, of the entire day. And which was funny because it wasn't part of Yamaha. It was obviously with the Ampeg stand. It was just
With Yamaha.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it will be, won't it? But
yeah, because they're all the same company now.
But we were obviously we were there to mess around with the amp, but and that was just the bass they had there for us to play. But that was fantastic. But that Rick was cool, really cool. Like I really, it probably comes across on the video that I'm having a very good time.
Just smiling away. Yeah, that's. Yeah. I've only played one Rickenbacker before.
I'd never played one before.
Well, there we go. Oh, I'm glad you got to play it then. So I'm. Yeah, I wish we had a little bit more time to try some more stuff, even from Vintage Bass Room.
We could have done a whole, hopefully if they are there next year, we can go and have a bit more, unless you want to do a little road trip sometime.
Maybe.
Long drive for you, that. That's a big boy drive. You'd have to you'd have to stay at mine the day before, and then we'd do that part, because it's... They're 3 hours from me, and you're three, maybe four, from you to me as well.
Yeah,
so
that's too much.
Yeah.
Too much. But
yeah, we could break it up. Maybe we can do it. But yeah, cool.
But they had a grabber there.
Yay. Did they have a grabber?
Yeah. Oh, no, not a grabber. Sorry.
G3.
Or was it a ripper? I think it was a ripper that they had. The day before that sold to someone. I was like, oh, I would have loved to have played
that. You know what? But while we're here, answer a question for our viewers. Mm. And by our viewers, I mean me. Because I don't know. What is the actual difference between... Right. What's the difference between a grabber and a ripper? And where does a G3 fall into this?
Okay. Right. Let me... I'm going to get some pictures up for you, if that's okay.
Okay. Because our good old pal Jordan Ray Landers, has
He has a grabber and a G3.
Oh, so two different things.
Oh, yes.
Right, now I am confused. So
it's quite
easy
to
remember. This is for all of our listeners, because obviously our listeners don't know this. It's definitely not me being a moron, but I'm just going to gaslight our entire listenership here now. So... Obviously,
and I'll potentially gaslight them more if I get it wrong.
So if you get it wrong, don't obviously admit you're wrong. Just say, tell them it's all in the red. Stop being so emotional.
Come on now. Right. The grabber.
Okay.
So they're both the same body shape.
Yes.
The grabber and the ripper have different style headstocks. Oh, look, here's all of them. So the grabbers have these triangular headstocks. The ripper... has this kind of more traditional SG kind of Les Paul-y style headstock.
Okay, that's the ripper on the
That's
far
the
left.
Ripper, yeah. With the grabbers, it's called a grabber because the original one, the pickup slides.
I knew this. Okay.
So it moves. You can see, I don't know if you see it in this picture, but it's got like a little cavity and you can move it up and down. So you grab the pickup and move it. The G3 is just the three pickup version of it.
Okay.
So that's what makes it the like buck and a half thing you get. Instead of a single humbucker, it's three single coils that act, that gives you that sound that they call a buck and a half, because it's like a humbucker, but with extra juice.
I see. And is this, because a while ago we were both sort of pining over one from Bass Bros. Was it a G3, a grabber G3 you were originally after?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Right. That's what my custom is modelled on.
And what custom is that?
My Alpha that's coming.
Oh, I thought you hadn't told anyone.
Oh, no. I've I treat podcast listeners as the best kind of audience members, and I can tell them anything.
Okay,
I've teased it here and there, but that will be coming later this year. But yeah, this is the Ripper, so it's got like two pickups in it.
I mean, I'll be honest, visually, I do like the look of the Ripper more.
Wow.
But I would prefer the buck and a half sound.
Yeah.
So the concept of the buck and a half, the free single coils, that is the preferred one of the three. But I really like the look of the Les Paul style headstock.
I used to think that, and then I completely changed my mind.
Okay. Look who it is.
Hey, it's our boy. Right. Thank you for the guitar show.
For that brief interjection. See, don't say we don't. Factual and entertaining.
Exactly.
Yeah, everything you could want. These t-shirts are so comfy, by the way.
Oh, I know. I got an XL.
I'm coming round to XL, you know. Like, a large is the correct size for me. But I'm just liking the shoulders dropped a little bit. Like, I feel like I'm enjoying... This is not best related. I'm enjoying, like, the longer sleeve. It just feels nice. And it's a really good t-shirt. And I work for a clothing company on the side.
I put it on today and was like, yeah. I got it out of the packet for the first time today and put it on. Was like,
so did I.
I had that. Nice.
Mine still smells like that, and the kind of like new t-shirt kind of thing. Like, this is a good, as someone who works for a clothing company on the side, this is a good t-shirt. A very
great
good
job,
t-shirt.
Ken. Great job.
Great work. The bases are nice too. Anywho. Tangent aside.
Other stuff that we went and tried.
Yes.
I stopped off at Mabry Guitars, which I'd never heard of before. One of their basses just caught my eye. It was a jazz bass like configuration. But their whole deal is that everything is reclaimed, so it's all recycled things. So even like some of the parts have come in from different basses and things like that. Like, they don't buy anything in, it's just they acquire it, so they just put it all together, which I think was quite cool, recycling and whatnot. And this one, it had a huge knot in the body because it was like an 18th century chair
or something. I remember we were looking at, you must have gone back to try it, because I think I went somewhere else, because we did get split up at one point. I was just sick of you. But that had that really cool knot ring from the woods,
yeah,
which is amazing. It was so cool.
Yeah, it was right at the start when we tried that. It was right before.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
we were with Matt at the time. It was after the LT custom when we went around the back to the other side.
Oh, they were around there, weren't they? Yes, we didn't film any of that, but that was, they had some cool stuff. They had a couple of other bases which were quite nice as well. And then he plugged you into the tiny Warwick thing, didn't he? You know, the super small Warwick bass amp.
Yes.
Is it the Warwick Tick or something like that?
They are small. I don't know. It was teeny tiny.
It's something like that. That was a cool amp.
It was very, it was so crisp sounding, that bass.
Actually, as a side note, when we went to Rotosound and won some free strings, which is hilarious because they didn't have bass strings to give away. They just had guitar strings, which is understandable because bass strings are significantly more expensive than guitar strings, but it was still like a, come on, I don't need these. I need bass strings.
I was actually super happy with the guitar strings. I was like, brilliant. My one guitar
my guitars need a restring, but I've got very little reason for them to be restrung right now. That may change. Ooh, hold that thought. They had the... Oh, I've completely forgot the name of the cab.
Oh, the GR.
That one, yes.
Yeah,
that you know, the advertise that thing is light, and you go, nah, it's not that light.
Yeah, like you see, people you can lift up with one finger, and be like, oh, right, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff you can lift. Yeah, exactly.
I already knew it was light, and then I picked it up and was like, oh my god, no, that is light. That weighs nothing.
It was really, really light. Like, you know, so, like, have you ever done the thing where you go to pick up a glass, and you think it's full, like a cup. Yeah. It's like full of a cup of tea or something. and then it's empty, and you go, ah, and you like lift it up into the air really high. That's how it felt. It was like, wow, this is really light. And the like, amp that was sat on top of it.
My mind couldn't work out because it was like, there's a speaker in here? Really? Like, I can't even feel that. It just feels like the outside. And it sounded huge.
Be funny to watch it at a gig because it is really light. It might move across the floor while you're playing.
Well, he demonstrated it, didn't he? Because he kind of pushed it and it went, it rocked. And he was like, it's designed not to fall over because it's so light. You know, it could fall over. So like it just went,
And can you remember what?
That's cool.
Can you remember what head was on top of that cab?
Yeah, it was a matching GR head.
Oh, was it a matching GR head? Because that was a really great. I mean, the guy we were chatting to at Rotosound was a really good bass player as well. Like he was clearly very good. Yeah. But that amp sounded fantastic as well. Like there were some sneaky amps potted around that were like not part of a, you know, that particular brand. It was like just the amp they'd brought, and they sounded really cool, like really good.
Yeah, wild. Mm. I particularly liked that Ampeg amp, but we'll speak about that in a little bit. Before that, I want to talk about probably the weirdest thing we saw that, and there were a lot of weird things there.
I think we both know on the weirdness scale, this was the most weirdest thing by far.
We had, you know, basses with resin that you flicked a switch and they lit up. We had weird Thunderbird models. We had crazy shaped, massive purple pickup basses. And then there was a fretless baritone with individual sustain controls for each string from Fidelity Guitars.
Yes.
Honestly, it might have to have the award for like best looking guitar. I mean, it is a guitar, this one. It's not like, oh, it's a bass six, oh, it's a bass. This is a guitar. This is a baritone guitar, but a fretless, which just wild. They put it in my hands to play, and I was like, I don't play guitar, and I'm not very good at fretless. This is a great combination for me.
it had you stumped for a little bit, didn't it?
Yeah, I was just like, I don't know what to do with this. I'm just like, woo, sliding up like.
And it's worth noting just quickly, they weren't normal guitar strings. They were like flat wound guitar strings.
Yeah,
of course. Even weirder.
With the fretless vibe. And then
also, it was weird because it was super high friction as you slid up the neck. So it was like the advantage of a fretless is you can slide between the notes. But the strings really resisted you as you moved. It was very interesting.
Very weird. And then they also had a built-in gain and filter controls on there as well from two knobs down by the bridge. Yeah. So they were there that last year and they had all sorts of built-in effects into the guitars and really, really cool stuff that they're doing. You know, we've said on this podcast before that for us as bass players, that's kind of useless and we wouldn't want that. But it is a gimmick. But they do it well and it's very cool.
Yeah.
And that that guitar looked so gangster. It was so cool.
It was very cool. There's some pictures on our Instagram of it, but it was really, I thought it was a really cool guitar. I really enjoyed it. I mean, also just, we've not talked about that part, but the shape, the neck, if that was like a regular guitar, that, you know, that was a really nice guitar. Like it sat on you really well balanced. It was lovely. Like it was genuinely quite nice. The back of the neck felt amazing as well. Like it was a really cool instrument, despite the, obviously, like I have no use for a baritone fretless with internal sustainers per string, which were fun, by the way, because you could do like, you could pull off an open E, it was an open B in this case, hit that sustainer, and then the trick then is to sort of play, making sure you never touch that string, because then the note will die. So you were doing like a drone note with like a melody over the top. And it was, again, it's not something I would buy because I see no reason there's no purpose for me, but it was very cool.
That type of thing where like, if I was alone with it for an hour in a room with headphones, like you could have a lot of fun for like in the guitar show.
We're still talking about a baritone guitar here, being alone on your own with a pair of headphones for an hour.
what do you think I'm doing after this? But yeah, that was a particular highlight. Really enjoyed that. Highlight for me, it was just seeing so many fresh faces and familiar faces as well, with people we met last year and people that we've met along the way. Joe from Guitar Nerds and Ashdown, great to see everyone there. I think it's a really nice coming together of all different people that you might not see that often. So yeah, it's a nice chance to get together and just nerd out with everyone.
Absolutely. I'm really hoping in the future that they there was obviously loads of guitar stuff. There was more guitar stuff than bass stuff, as is often the way. I'm really hoping in the future that they grow the bass side of things. Maybe have, like, instead of having all the basses potted around all the guitars, we need a bit more segregation. Split that up and maybe have a bit more dedicated bass stuff alongside that. Because, like, in terms of even, like, performers that they had on the stage, and we didn't go in the stage room at all, did we? We didn't go anywhere near it. We didn't look at Chapman Guitars either. I don't know if they brought any. If they brought any good basses with them. We walked past.
Don't make basses anymore.
No, they don't make them anymore. Oh, that's a shame.
Nope, they made one signature model for.
They did for Dave Thingy, who was the bass player in Dorje. Yeah.
Yeah, but then no more.
Oh, that's a shame, because I always got the impression that was quite a nice bass. But and we very briefly walked past Neural DSP and continued walking. In the future, though, it'd be cool if they had, like, basically just more bass would be great. But yes, I was just about to say, in terms of, like, the performers they had on and people speaking, how many bass players did they have? Because CC was there. She did some performing,
yeah.
But is that it?
In the pocket pod. Let's go. 2025.
Let's do it. We have no say in the matter, but I think we could do a live episode on stage.
I think it'd be great.
But
in order for that to happen, you guys are going to have to, like this video, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, etc., to help us get to a point where we can actually do that. Because at the minute, no, we're on the brink. We're giving up. Okay, so help us out. Tell a friend.
But it is true. Yeah. It is true, though. It is true. Like, the more people like our content, the more people follow us online, interact with us in any way. Ultimately, that just means there's more opportunities for us. So if you do like anything that we've ever done, maybe, do us a favor, give us a follow, like the post. It might, more followers means more guests at the end of the day. I mean, and it's true as well, like, we won't say names, but there are people who've said no to coming on, who then a few months later have then come on because we've grown. I've spoken to guests who originally, when we were just audio only, you could tell it just wasn't really a priority for them, which is fine because we were a lot smaller than we are now. But then since going video and more invested in things and stuff, we've grown and, we're getting more opportunities. And at the end of the day, that is down to people like you who are sat here listening to this right now.
Me?
Well, yes, just you, because it's only me and you who watch this.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Do all those things, help us out. Go on, you want to. For me, yeah, I'd love to see a bass only space at the Guitar Room. I think that is the plan potentially for next year, or what they're hoping to do. So if you're thinking, oh, it's a guitar show, well, our bass players, no, I'm not gonna go. I'd say it's definitely worth going still as a bass player. So it gets my recommendation anyway.
Yeah, there was a lot of bass stuff there. There was more than I thought there was going to be. I genuinely thought we were going to be bored and there would be like Origin Goliath, one other thing, and that's it. But there was quite a lot of stuff there at the end.
Yeah,
and lots of guitar companies there, like sort of like custom builders that have made basses as well. And yeah, sure, there might have been 9 guitars and 1 bass, but there was still a bass for you to try out.
Yeah.
So there was a lot
and
there.
And for a custom builder, you know, that's good. And that's the kind of stuff I want to cover a bit more next time in some of those smaller brands that people might not be aware of, which we didn't get time to get round to this time.
Yeah, next time we'll do that. And even if we have to do it over 2 days, you know, we'll make it work.
Yeah. Before we close things out, what was the favorite thing you tried or a particular highlight for you?
Ooh. So I'll struggle to give a favorite, but I will say it was very nice to finally try the Origin DCX. That was very fun. I enjoyed that pedal. Only really got to try it as like an always on enhancement of the Bass Rig Super Vintage. But I liked what I heard. It was really great. And then the other two things are kind of almost like, I don't know whether they were my favorite, but I really loved them, was that Rickenbacker was amazing to play. And the Yamaha, that Yamaha BB that was part of the Ampeg stand, was just a really fantastic bass. Like, I really, really can't stress how much I enjoy playing that. And I've got a feeling I know what you're going to say your favorite thing was.
And what do you think that is?
Was it the thing my Yamaha was plugged into?
Potench, yes.
Potench?
I had a couple of things. For me, yes, the Yamaha. Not the Yamaha. Yes, the Yamaha was great. But the Ampeg Venture amps I've been wanting to try for a while now. I've loved the demos online, but I love the sound of ones that aren't ridiculous noodling. I took my P bass with me and plugged it into it, and it was worth taking it just for that moment, actually, so I could hear what that sounded like through it. And Johnny Likey, it sounded so good.
Very nice.
So I was very happy with that. So I'd love to check one of those out in the future. The Court Space 5, the headless bass, I didn't expect that to be there, and that was a pleasant surprise.
New, that's new, you know, like
brand
less than
new.
2
they
weeks
did the
old,
full,
right?
They did the full announcement of it, like the proper, like, here it is, and here's some demos, like a couple of days after the show. So that's really cool that it was there.
Was a cool bass as well. Oh,
I have one here.
Do you now? Can you give away... Now, you got something else in that package, didn't you?
Yes.
Can you tell me on air what it was? No.
Yes, it's a pedal. Yes. It's the DOD Meatbox.
Oh!
So cool. I've been really wanting to try one of those.
Yeah.
Because I love a big box of meat. Nice low gain drive pedal, so kind of what I've been wanting as well, so that'd be nice.
Very, very cool. Looking forward to letting the vegetarian get his hand on some meat.
Yum, yum, yum. That was probably might be my favorite thing I tried. That's the thing I came away and was like, oh yeah, I want that.
Yeah.
Semi Hollow was good. Origin stuff is obviously amazing. I think that's got to be it for me. Personally, but yeah, want to say a thank you to everyone that was there and recognized us from doing anything and came up and spoke to us and said hello and all that stuff. It's weird when you have those moments, you're like, oh, you I just sit here in front of a camera and on a computer talking to my mate I forget people listen to this. So that was very, very nice. Thank you very much. Definitely going to try and go to next year's show. So make sure you get your tickets as well once they're announced and once the exhibitor list comes out for next year. But have to wait a little while for that yet. If you want to see us do that and see even more, like we said, make sure you subscribe on YouTube, follow on Instagram and TikTok in the Pocket Pod. What's the last bit? Oh, yes, rating this podcast 5 stars on your platform of choice. It helps something to do with algorithms help reach more people, more people, more guests, more guests, more money, baby. That's what we care about. No, we just want to talk about more bases, please. That's it. Chris, where can people find you?
You can find me quite literally everywhere under That Guy on Base. Nice and simple. I have stuff on Instagram and on TikTok. I am filming some pedal demos this week as we speak. So I'm going to start tickling those out in a little bit. I've still got some footage from my band Darla that we went on tour last month. I still have some videos from that that I've still not got around to posting. So I should probably do that. But yeah, That Guy on Base. Nice and easy.
Lovely, lovely. For me, it is just Johnny Dibble or Johnny Dibble Bass on TikTok, YouTube, Instagram. You know where to find me. It's all good. Give us a follow on there for all the content. If you want to see this Caught Headless Bass as well, I'll be reviewing that soon. Go and check it out for sure. Once again, everyone, thank you so much for listening. See you next time.
Ta-ta.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.